Look in Hebrews. This is a warning to us to pay attention and to not drift, so that we follow the message and we're on track with God. I think it's also a warning that speaks of, if we're not right with God, when we do come with the persecution, we won't be able to stand against it. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to look at the first four verses. It says, "We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation of disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will." Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the privilege we have to have it. But we thank You for the privilege that we have to Your testimonies of Your working through the persecuted church in the past and in the present. Now, Lord, we ask that we might heed Your Word and Your instruction and duly give it our full attention. So, Lord, open our hearts and minds to hear Your Word, that we see how it is You would have each one of us to individually apply it to our lives so that we can walk better with You. Lord, I pray for Your anointing to be upon me, that as I speak, I might speak forth Your truth and Your power, and that You might be the one lifted up, and that Your people would be the ones encouraged. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Must pay more careful attention. Sometimes we don't pay real close attention or aren't real careful, are we? Especially as a society. I mean, that's one of the things that we're having battles with right now with our society, is people aren't paying attention as they're driving down the road. They're on the cell phone, they got the radio going, and they're eating a sandwich and doing their makeup all at the same time. And they can only do that because they're using their toes for doing the eyeliner. I don't know. But I'm not kidding. This kind of stuff goes on. I've been guilty of it. Not the eyeliner part. I don't drink coffee, but I do eat and drink in the car. I've been guilty of trying to read in the car and write stuff down. I have. I've literally had a book while I'm in traffic. You know, it's going slow and I'm trying to read. And, you know. I haven't done that for years. I have reformed my ways a little bit. But paying attention. Quite often we are guilty as a society of not paying attention to what somebody has to say. Guilty. Don't ask Donna, but I might have not paid attention once or twice when she said something to me. It's possible. It could have happened. If I was reading or watching TV or gaming, doing nothing, staring off into space, and she came up and talked to me, I might not have given her my full attention or my children. I've been guilty of that. The warning here is that we need to pay more careful attention. Why? Because the person who has come and given us the gospel message, as we see in chapter 1, is God. Hello, it's God coming and talking to us. We're not getting a message from guy named Bruce. We're getting a message from Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our God, about being our Savior, about the fact He is our God. So something we need to pay attention to. He says we need to pay attention to this stuff so that we don't drift away. Now the drifting away that they talk about is actually sometimes a word that's talked about slipping, maybe even the slipping of a ring. Really, that's what it's talking about. It's like a slipping of a ring. And if we don't pay attention and I allow things to happen so that my ring slips off, that's not a good thing, is it? You need to keep that ring on. And we need to make sure that we keep our faith on, that it doesn't slip. Oops. You see those kids walking around town with the baggy pants? They walk and they walk like this, don't they? Why? Because otherwise it's an oops. They wear the long shirt and they got the waistline of the pant is right here, and they got the t-shirt that goes to the knee, so they figure they're okay until they bend over. Things have drifted south. How'd that happen? I don't know. It wasn't that long ago where it was common for everybody to wear belt and suspenders. I mean, they would wear not just suspenders, but suspenders and a belt. They weren't letting nothing slip. Well, our faith has become sometimes a fashion statement. And we let the vagaries of fashion, which all that pant wearing around the ankles is really... Okay, they're not usually around the ankles, but... It's fashion. And what's fashion? Something which comes and goes. It will change. And, 20 years from now, these guys who are running around right now with their pants around their, somewhere between their knees and their waist, are going to have kids, and their kids are going to look at pictures of them and say, "You wore that." Kind of like they look at me right now. I got pictures of me when I was young and, good looking, skinny, with black polyester pants and a black silk shirt, puka shells around my neck, long wavy hair. I did. And I did that. There was a time I could do the thing where you went down and did the splits and jumped back up, and I did all that silly, stupid stuff. But it's just a drift of society. I mentioned. But our faith isn't supposed to be like that, where it changes according to whatever winds are blowing, whatever happens to be hot. We need to be paying attention to the message that God has given us so we stay on track and that we don't drift away. See, fashion drifts, and that's okay. Some think it's okay to drift. I really can't honestly say that my skin-tight pants and shirt are any better than the guy who's wearing the oversized shirt and the baggy pants. I really can't. I don't approve. I don't like it. But is my old style better than that? No. And trust me, the skin-tight pants no longer look good on me. Neither does the skin-tight shirt. But I do have a couple that are. But I don't wear them. So not to drift too far off topic again, so we need to be careful. Be careful that we're paying attention to what God is saying, the message that He has for us. Right? Because if the message that angels have was a good one, isn't, and one that we needed to pay attention to, when the President of the United States sends somebody to your house, you go, whoa, I suppose I better pay attention. Let's say, who would the President send? Maybe a U.S. Marshal? Somebody from the Secret Service? Those are possibilities. Maybe just a White House staffer. I don't know. But they would send somebody, and they came and said, you need to do this. You'd probably say, okay, yes. Better pay attention to that, especially if we're talking like a U.S. Marshal. Because if they're giving you a directive not to do it, is against the law, as long as they're giving you a legal directive. Okay, got to do it. What if, I mean, whether you're Democratic or Republican, whether it was Clinton or Bush, but if the sitting president showed up at your front door and said, you need to do this, most of us would say, whoa, I better pay attention here. Because you don't normally get the personal face-to-face full attention of the president when he's going to come to you. Well, here we have the personal face-to-face attention of God, which leaves the president way in the dust. We have God who is presenting to us the enormity and the wonderful message of salvation. Salvation, that which was announced by the Lord. Wasn't some kid on a tricycle coming by and say, hey, guess what? Got a Kool-Aid stand down here. This is the Lord Himself coming by. Hey, guess what? I have salvation for you. Do we pay attention? Or do we act? Or do we ignore it, or even turn away? If we hear it and receive it, then we've done the right thing. If we ignore it or turn away, we have failed. We have turned away from the face of God. We've turned away from His message of salvation. Now, when I say we failed ourselves. Because He is the only way to salvation. We can't get it any other way. And, you know, somebody comes up and says, hey, I know the way to salvation. And we say, you know, whatever, I got a map, I'll get there myself. And they say, no, your map's wrong. I say, no, I'm going to follow my map. Okay, now you're just countermanding, being argumentative. But you're still not going to get there. Somebody comes and knocks on the door and says, hey, I got a map. And you just, I'm not answering the door. I'm just going to pretend, la, 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 la. I don't hear you. We have the message spoken by our Lord of His salvation. We need to pay attention to it, so that we don't drift from it. We have the message of our Lord and Savior. We need to pay attention to it so that we don't drift from it. Why? Pastor, didn't you tell me that if I couldn't lose my salvation like my keys? No, but If once you're saved and you drift away from the message and you're not living that victorious life, how many people do you think you are leading to Christ? And for every person you turn away from Christ, you're going to have to answer to Christ. It's not a conversation I want to be having. As a pastor, I have more responsibility. And if I teach you wrongly, it is better for me to have never been born than to intentionally teach you wrongly. But you all have that same obligation in the way you live your life. Because everybody is paying attention to you. People are looking for Christians. They're looking at Christians and they're watching them. Why was the security guard paying attention? Because they're looking. Why did these Muslims grab this young man in Iran? Because they're looking. Why is it that the Chinese church is spending time discipling its members on how to minister in their last 5 minutes? Because they're looking. Is their faith really real? They can tell that if we don't drift. But if we've drifted so that we're so far away from our Lord that the way we live and what we're doing cannot be reconciled with what He says, we got a problem. We got a problem for our own selves as we're living our life. We're not going to have the victory in Christ. We're not going to be able to have the joy and the presence that comes from being obedient. But yes, we need to have our own decision-making process. The Lord does not call us to be thoughtless in our obedience. But He does call us to be obedient. And many times He gives us the option. He didn't probably tell you you were to eat, you know, Raisin Bran or Fruit Loops this morning. He left that up to your choice. But is it important to Him that you bring even that to Him? Yes, it is. Why? Because it's important to you. Everything that we do, we should be doing for the Lord. Everything that we do, we need to be paying attention to God, where it came from. See, God testified by the signs and wonders and various miracles and the gifts according to the Holy Spirit, distributed according to His will. To what? To that the salvation of Christ is real. That the message of the gospel is true. So if God testified to it, Christ testifies to it, the angels all testify to it, that this is the truth, we need to be paying attention so that we don't vary from it. See, the gospel I preach needs to be in line with the same gospel that James and John and Paul and Peter and all the apostles testified to and saw that Jesus spoke to them. The Bible writer here in Hebrews says, this was something confirmed to us by those who heard Him. So this Bible writer wasn't one who heard Jesus face to face, but had heard from others. And they need now to pay attention. Anybody here ever play telephone? I got one hand, two hands. Come on. Ed, you never played telephone. You work for the phone company. Telephone, is that... That's the thing where you say, you tell the guy next to you a message, and then they turn to the person next to them and they whisper the message to them, and it goes all the way around. You get back to the... You do that with chain of command or bosses. In the military and workplace, you know, one person says one thing, then the next person... If you don't pay attention to what you're saying, and you're not paying attention when you're listening, what comes out at the end is not even close to what was said at the beginning. Sometimes it only takes one not paying attention in that whole chain to mess the whole thing up. Everybody else can pay close attention. But if one person isn't paying close attention, what comes out is gobbledygook. That's a theological term. I try so hard, and without Shelly here to laugh, you guys don't know when. That was a funny joke. Okay. We must pay attention. We must be more careful that we're listening closely to God, and that as we communicate, we are communicating what He tells us. Remember, we're communicating not just when we stand up and say, "Hello, I'm a Christian. I would now like to speak about what it's like, what you're supposed to do as you follow Christ." People say, "Okay, thank you very much." Then they watch you. Say, "You know, you came and you said that Christians are supposed to be this, but then I watched you and you did this and that and the other thing," and like, you said, "Yeah." But isn't that like not supposed to be what Christians are doing? Well, yeah. It's called drift. We're not supposed to drift. Knowing isn't supposed to slip off. We're supposed to make sure it stays on. We're supposed to make sure that we stay on track and that we pay attention, that we do follow what our Lord has told us. And that we do preach the same gospel He gave us. We don't change it. It's not ours to change. This morning boils down to one thing. Pay attention. Not to me, but to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. You have said for us that we must pay more careful attention to what we've heard. Lord, might we pay attention to You and Your Word. Might we listen to You so that we can accurately live it out in our lives and give profession of it with our lips. Lord, we pray that You would help us to do that each and every day, that we wouldn't drift, that we wouldn't be found far away from the course that we're supposed to be on, but instead that we would be on track. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.